world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I don't know if you heard me yelling Kleenexes or not. If you did, I'm sorry. Got a little bit of a runny nose today. I just told my wife, I was screaming up at her in my multi-million dollar studio, I need some Kleenex, honey. So hopefully she'll bring them down there, don't I? I don't even know if it's possible to. I don't. There she comes. What a sweetie. Just give me a couple of them. I don't need a whole bunch. I don't need the whole thing. All right. Arguing with yin and yang. So there I go. If I got to blow my nose today, you'll understand what's going on. Wow, a lot going on. And I guess as we try to launch here this morning, Coach Dave, what are you going to talk about? Well, first of all, Lord, let the words of our lips and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight today, Lord Jesus. You should be glorified through all we say and all we do in Jesus' name. Amen. I just heard the Holy Spirit, Spencer, pull up Psalm 78. I read it yesterday. Now, look, how long are we going to sit around and mourn Charlie Kirk? How long are we going to do that? And the reality of it is that we're all immersed in it. We're all immersed in who shot the gun, who pulled the trigger, and, you know, where did the bullet go, and it should have blown off his head, and just all that distraction, which all of it may be true. But what we have to do, friends, we cannot get caught up in what we call the afterwash. We can't do that. We've got to stay focused on where we go from here and what it is that we're supposed to do. Those who are going to do the investigation of who really shot him and what really happened to him, and folks, it's all distraction. Don't ever forget this. The Bible says that Satan's the author of confusion. And if you can get us running down the wrong path, we'll never get there, man. We'll never get there. And as I sit here today, I want you to understand this. We're not in a political war. In fact, I would say that on our team, what you would call our team, the Republican, if you want to call that your team, many, many traitors, many liars, connivers within our own team. Look, I coached football teams my whole life. And one vision, baby, one vision. And this idea that one of the things they've been trying to do to us is give us the idea of multiculturalism. Multiculturalism. The Bible tells us, can two walk together lest they agree? Multiculturalism is the death to America. And they knew that they would be able to kill America if they could get us off target. And that's why I spoke about yesterday a little bit of Everson versus the Board of Education. I want to go back to that a little bit today because some of you, I got some emails and some of you just didn't really get the understanding of it. Look, are you looking at me? I'm 70. I'm 72, 1952. Yeah, I'm 72 and a half years old. You guys understand this, that Everson versus the Board of Education, the removal of Christianity out of the schools occurred in 1948. Now, it took a while for it to happen. I grew up in a day. Let's pull that up there, Spencer. See when Everson versus the Board of Ed. I don't know if it's one of the links or not. See when Everson versus the Board of Education was argued. And Everson versus the Board of Education was an argument about when, let me get my glasses on here, I'm sorry, how Christian money was, whether or not, in 1947, I thought it was about whether or not, here's how it started, whether or not the government could pay for kids to be transported to Catholic schools. That's how the whole thing began, that schools were transporting kids to Catholic schools. And it was at the heart of Everson versus the Board of Education was a very, very strong anti-Catholic bias. That's really what it was all about. And so the Supreme Court ruled in Everson versus the Board of Education that there was a separation between the church and state, and therefore the promotion of religion in public schools was unconstitutional. 1947. So that is Where's Mr. Numbers out there? Where's Craig out there? 1947. I was born in 52. I'm 70. 77 years ago. 77 years ago, Christianity, in particular, was removed from schools. And so it's a generation. What's a generation? Maybe 20? Maybe 20 people? Younger, 20 years? Generation 20, maybe 25. Some people go say as far as 30, maybe 30 years of generation. So now we've grown up in a country. See, let me see. 1947, 30 years would be 2007. That would be one generation. Another generation would be 2037. Would that be right? We're near the end of our second generation of atheism in our public schools. Atheism. And we all know this, right? That nature abhors a vacuum. That some philosophy. See, folks, you can't have values-free education. You can't have it. Somebody's values are going to win the day. Somebody's values are going to be promoted. So they promote transgenderism, and see, they use Christianity to shove this down. Who are you to judge, right? You're supposed to love people. We're supposed to be. Those are all Christian values. You understand that, don't you? So they've used our own Christian values against us, right? And they've made Jesus Christ just this nice, soft little guy. Here's the rules you're supposed to follow. But if you don't follow him, it's okay. He loves everybody and everything. It's all right. I'm okay. You're okay. Who are you to judge? That has become two generations of Christianity. Somebody say amen. So I know I got one friend out there to understand what I'm talking about. And we are now reaping the benefits of two generations of non-Christian foundation in Americans' public schools. We're moving into the third. In fact, a generation, our family here, they started having babies about 20, 24, 25. Wasn't 30 years. And so we are, for the most part, looking at a generation of Americans who believe that there's a separation between the church and state, that believe all religion should be kept to yourself, and not understand that the whole basis of Western civilization, all of it, is Christian-based. Folks, you go to secular humanism, it's all Christ-based, having to do with how you live your life and how people are supposed to help you be happy. At the base of that is Christianity, right? Freedom of religion, not freedom from it. And so the issue doesn't become our values going to be taught in our schools. That's not the issue. The issues are whose values, what values are going to be taught in our schools. And I've said this over and over and over and over and over again. Public schools are not, how do I say this? Public schools are supposed to represent the values of the public. And if you don't have a standard by which we all agree, what values are taught? And so they told us in 1947 that we could no longer teach Christian values to our children. Yet they did, see. And they brought those Christian values in under the guise of humanism. Humanism being a religion that basically teaches that man is his own God. Man is his own defender of liberty. Man is his own. You can choose your own path. Humanism is about men being happy, self-determination. And none of us are against that, except we want those foundations to be done with the foundations of Christianity, that we have to do it with. We used to teach those to our children. We used to teach those to our children. And now look around and ask yourself, what are the values of the Christians of the public schools? What are the values? What is at the foundation of it? What are the values of America's public schools? So I want to jump off here in just a second. Here's what I would like to do today. See where it goes. What are we going to do? What would be a plan that we could come up with? How long? When we watched, they said 100 million. Did you hear that? 100 million people watch Charlie Kirk. Watch his funeral. 100 million. Why did 100 million people tune in? Why did 100 million people tune in? Because the truth be told, there's hundreds of millions of us out there with a Christian foundation. And they were drawn to it. Yet it's not allowed to be discussed in our public schools. Bible says if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We have to ask ourselves, the death of Charlie Kirk, what are we going to build upon that death? What are we going to do? Before I get rolling too deep here, I'm going to come back to it. Spencer, pull up. Diana Ketterman's having a prayer vigil, online prayer and communion vigil tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, throw it up here, Spencer, if you could. Just put it in the chat. Can you find it there, bud? Okay, so can you put the link in there? How do they get the link? Can you do that? So anyway, folks, tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern time, Diana Ketterman's going to lead a communion prayer vigil, and some of you, I think, would probably like to be part of it. And Spence, I don't know if you could just highlight that and put it in the chat, or I don't know. This is putting in the show notes, okay? Oh, by the way, Spencer, somebody complained about you all, said you guys aren't putting all the show notes in there. Make sure all the show notes get in there, Spence, okay? Cool. So tomorrow night, again, more prayer. So I had to get that in so I didn't forget about it. We'll talk more tomorrow. But here's where I want to go today. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I want you to know this. That one of the problems, we have to pray for a great awakening among our pastors. Because we have, remember, Everson versus Board of Education. We've had three generations of Americans trained in the idea the church shouldn't be involved with politics. No. Church shouldn't. By the way, wasn't that what Charlie Kirk did? Wasn't Charlie Kirk church and politics? You know what it was? And 100 million people tuned in. If we're not smart enough to look around and understand there's something going on, that this idea of humanism has destroyed us and that people are looking for something else. And I said it again when I picked up some of those people and transported them. They're looking for the supernatural, friends. They're looking for the supernatural. So we have to ask ourselves, here's kind of where I am. We'll jump in, get it going here. What are we going to do locally? Locally, what are we going to do to put Christ back into public? Why can't you pray in schools? Why did I lose my job praying before a football game? Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion. Hey, Spence, quickly. Sorry, folks, I gotta get this out of me. Go to Webster. What's religion? What's religion? Religion. Pertaining or relating, pious, godly, devoted to the practice of religion, teaching religion, rules and regulations, religion. See, Baptist is a religion. Lutheran is a religion. Presbyterian is a religion. They're forms of Christianity. Christianity is not a religion, friends. Christianity is not a religion. We'll say it again. Christianity is not a religion. When they told us that there was a separation between the church and state, and we couldn't teach religion to our kids, that meant they couldn't make everybody be a Catholic or a Baptist or a Lutheran or have a church state, that the state was controlled by the government. Nobody wants that, but that the top of government is Christianity. 100 million people. 100 million people. How do we begin locally to have an impact? How do we begin to do it? Dale told us that down in Louisiana, they're putting the Ten Commandments back in the school. The Ten Commandments being put in, should we push for them to be done in your school? Should we push for the Ten Commandments to be posted in our local schools? Should we do that? Is that something we can do? Rather than just sit around, twiddle our thumbs, and watch Charlie Kirk clips. I'm kind of all over the place. I got to throw this up here real quick. Josh Peck. I don't know if you guys know Josh Peck. Josh and Christina Peck, they lost their 10-year-old son yesterday. He struggled with medical issues his whole life, but he had a medical emergency before they could really do anything, get into the hospital and make it. So Josh, I'm not best friends with Josh. I know Josh. And just to lift that family up, man. If we have hope in this world only, we are all men. Most miserable. Okay, look, I got a lot of stuff, but I'm all over the place, and I'm going to shut up a minute, and I'm going to ask some of you out there, what should we do? Hang on, let me play you one great Charlie video. Number four. Number four. Hey, friends. Remember I told you this? Those people standing in line to go to that Lost Lanes conference over there, they're looking for the supernatural. We're not even allowed to talk about it in school. This Charlie Kirk, pretty powerful. By the way, mixing religion and politics. It's the heart of what he did. Go ahead.
Let's be honest. We got to raise our game in this culture. We are constantly around one. They say, oh, just go place another bet on this running back to run 100 yards. Just go to the cannabis dispensary and medicate yourself. That's all a bunch of BS. Go look to your grandfather's generation that stormed Normandy Beach, that built this nation, that started big businesses, that went on adventure. If the most important thing for you is just feeling good, you're going to end up miserable. But if the most important thing is doing good, you will end up purposeful. Purpose will give you happiness. You see, we live in a country where they think that purpose, where they think that happiness is pleasure. We know that purpose is above all of this. Serving God, understanding why we are here, that we are made in his image, that there is a struggle of good versus evil. By the way, you're involved in that struggle every single day on the college campuses. Every day you get to fight for what is good and what is true and beautiful. So next time when you're on a college campus, and if you want to be a man, this is what you do. If you want to stay a boy, go and do what your other friends do. But men say, you know what? No, I'm actually not going to go hook up with a bunch of girls. I'm going to save myself for marriage. Actually, I'm not going to go do that. But if you want to go be a boy, go do that. It takes no skill and no talent and no self-restraint whatsoever just to follow your flesh. An animal can do that. A dog can do that. Do you know what mature people do? Mature people say no to what feels good and they pursue what is good. And far too often on college campuses, we have these grown boys. And I'm talking to a lot of you in this audience, and it's time for you guys to up your game. It's time for you guys to stop doing just what feels good all the time. Oh, yeah, we're just going to go get, you know, blackout drunk till 2 a.m. and hook up with some stranger. No, no, no. If you want to stay in the lower standard, a miserable cycle of debt and suffering and depression, lack of community, go do that. Instead, on a Saturday night, say, you know what? I'm going to hang out with some friends that are not going to drink, are not going to, you know, engage with this stuff. And then maybe on Sunday morning, I'm going to go to church or I'm going to go to mass. And then I'm going to go work out. And then I'm going to study. Who will be happier? You know I'm right.
You know he's right. We're not teaching that to our kids. Martin wants to jump in here. He's got to go to work. Go ahead, Martin.
Hey, I love you guys, Coach. Yes, you asked the question, what do we do since Charlie has passed away? I'm going to submit to everybody here at Coach Dave Live. Let's do what God has shown us to do. And if you don't know what God wants you to do, get into your Bible, read it, learn it, know it, then live it. In Deuteronomy 34:8, we mourned, if we were Israelites, we mourned the death of Moses and Aaron for only 30 days. And then they moved on. So we'll need to move on. We'll become the Joshua of the ancient world. And we will continue to move people into the promised land, which is Jesus Christ, Coach. God bless you, Coach. I got to go to work.
Amen. Got to stand up and be brave. We got to be brave. We got to say things that are going to make other people angry. The truth is convicting. People don't want to hear it. No, you shouldn't be sleeping around girls. No, you shouldn't, boys. No, you shouldn't be doing that. And then when you do that, then you go murder the baby that you didn't want to have. No, you shouldn't be doing that. But folks, this ain't hard, man. This ain't hard. But the church has got to come out of hiding. We have elected officials. Elected officials. We put them in the office. Republicans and Democrats. Come on, man. Huh? Not one pastor in 10 will speak on politics. They won't mix politics with religion. Why? They heard that somewhere. That's what the government told him. That's what the government told him. Charlie Kirk really mixed religion and politics. And 100 million people came to his funeral. What to tell you, Pastor? You want to build a church? Hey, Pastor, you want to build a church? Start talking about religion and politics. Stop. Hey, quit spiritualizing everything. We live in a natural world. We are the salt of the earth. We're supposed to do something about all this crap around us, not retreat inside our churches and hear about how much God loves us and how we can live a better life. That's all good. But you're the salt of the earth, not the salt of the church. And we're going to have to come out with some bold, brave Christian leaders who don't give a damn what the other side says. We are at war. We don't care. Huh? We're so milk toast, flaky, roll over and let them have it. Ask yourself this. How many strong, bold, unashamed, unwavering, public Christian men do you know? That's what I thought. Jeff Klein, come on in.
Not many. But here's
they think you're nuts.
Yeah.
Huh? They cringe every time they see you coming, right, Jeff?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff, the Christians do. The Christians on the school board. They cringe when they see you coming. Because you're telling them to live up to the standard of Christ. But they won't do that because there's a separation between the church and the state. By the way, humanism is a religion. I'll show you that here in a minute. Go ahead, Jeff.
Have you talked to Pastor Bill in the past week?
No.
Okay. You know his situation. Everybody knows. He was in prison. So he's coming out. He's ready to hit the streets again. He's asked me to, he's going to do October 12th at the Coshocton Gazebo, PA system and everything. And then Mount Vernon Square, October 26th. Both of them are Sunday afternoons, 2 to 6. We're going to have some speakers. But he's labeling it Honor Charlie / Glorify Christ. You can imagine what this is going to be like. So he's ramping it up or planning and getting ready. So you might want to contact him.
When is that, Jeff?
October 12th in Coshocton and October 26th in Mount Vernon Square.
Okay. Can I say what I feel?
I'm sure you will.
Yeah. What about all those cowardly men that deserted him? Are they coming back to the fold now, Jeff?
Not sure, but we're contacting him. I know he's going to be down there, and I will be here in Mount Vernon. So
cowardly men, right? When the heat got turned up on the pastor, they ran and hid. Is that true, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. I stood on the square with my signs that said, local pastor sent to prison.
Ran and hid.
How many of them stopped?
They're glad Pastor Bill laid down his life for the gospel. They just don't want to have to.
I had maybe two pastors stop and ask me about it, a couple Christians, but not many people did. They looked at it and gave me a thumbs up and kept driving.
Yep. Hey, folks. We're the salt of the earth. We're the salt of the earth. I don't know if you know this or not. I know you don't. I have out in front of our house, I put a salt, big salt tablet. Yeah, not tablet. You know what it is. Salt block so the deer can come by and lick off the salt. The deer like to do that out in my front yard. And that thing sits out there. And you know what? All around it, all the weeds are dead. All the weeds are dead. Salt killed him. Oh, yeah. Folks, salt ain't sugar. Salt ain't sugar. And what's amazing to me is how many Christians didn't like Charlie's message, even though they didn't know what it was, really. They didn't know what it was. They'd rather compromise and hide. And come on, Craig.
Well, you know, Coach. You know, my dad was, I grew up on military bases. There's probably a lot of pretty big badass men that went over to the war. And when they sat in that trench, pissed and peed themselves while men went forward. But then something changed. And they went up and they probably got shot in Purple Heart. And we never knew that they were sitting in the foxhole for 2 minutes. Mm. We can't harness what the Holy Spirit's getting ready to do because the Lord's provided an opportunity. Refinersfire2025.com is your, not you put it personally, but an opportunity to pray that not every church is going to be on the front lines, but God already has the ones picked out. Now we can help pray them into it. We can help lead them into it. I think Charlie has set the course. Okay. For what is going to really happen over the fall of 2025. Okay. And that's what Refiner's Fire is about. September 21st, December 21st. Pray for our nation. Pray for 10 churches of righteousness in your community and let God do the rest. So join us with it. Put your location of a church in our interactive map, because it's going to be important when down the road someone looks at that interactive map. By now we're at 76, right, I think. But it'd be great if you looked over and saw, wow, there's 1776 churches in there over America, you know. We're up at 88. It was 76. Hey, Craig,
let me say this. I got about 50 I want to put in there, and I had a hard time doing it. Yeah.
We changed that, Coach. We had a little clunkiness, all right? So we all worked it in. You can do multiple entries now, okay? You don't have to put your name. Everything that's required, if you go back up, Spence, see those little asterisks? Those are required. You don't have to put your name if you're a coward. But anyways, just do it, and then give it a day or so. It will pop up. And, you know, you guys can be a part of making this, you know, when someone down the road 2 weeks from now comes and says, wow, there's 500. Hey, I want to join that. So God bless, Coach. Keep rolling.
Amen. Amen. So now I can, maybe today I can get those. It was a struggle for me, Craig. I'm not complaining, to get them all in there, man. So good, 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 good. So folks, I'm kind of curious. Have you seen an uprising at all in your community yet? And we're seeing these little rallies that we're having. Can I tell you the truth? They're not pastor-led. They're not pastor-led. In fact, again, one the other day. I don't get it. For the life of me, I don't get it. So we're going to have to be the salt of the earth. We're going to have to be.
Hey, Coach, I don't interrupt for a living, but I want to make this point, because the Holy Spirit tells you something. Okay, it's important. Scroll down just a little bit till you see those people in red t-shirts there. I want to tell you what the background of that image is there, Coach. That's Myra. That's Myra. And that's Steve Deck. You know what he's hunched over? The Southern Boundary, Masonic Boundary Stone of Washington, D.C.
Hmm.
Remember how we went to the four corners of D.C. and prayed over that city?
Yep.
And who was all in Phoenix 2 days ago? A lot of politicians from that city, correct?
They all wanted to be seen, yep.
Well, and some of them were speaking of Christ. What I'm trying to point out here, Coach, is what we did on December 12, 2020 at Stop the Steal. We basically redid it at that stadium when we prayed 2 years before at Rihanna's Super Bowl thing, halftime show, Stop the Steal. We intercepted what the devil was doing for bad. So that's Steve Deck right there.
I know we're doing great stuff here. I know we are. I know, folks, we got to recruit. We got to get more. We cannot wait for the national religious establishment, the Franklin Grahams of the world, the big men. See, folks, do you have any idea the army Franklin Graham could raise? Do you have any idea? What's going on with him? Maybe an initiative to at least put prayer back in the school, posting the Ten Commandments back in the school. What's going on? They'll go feed people at a crisis. That's good. The crisis is in the schools. The crisis is right where you live. It's right where you live. Now, I'm going to show you some stuff here real quick. Nobody else has their hand up. Go for me. Go down number seven for me. Number seven. Is humanism a religion? Folks, remember, it's not supposed to be any religion. A religion is a worldview. It's a worldview. All right? I'm going to say that again because you don't get it. Religion is a worldview. Judaism is a worldview. Baptists, worldview. It's a religion, but it's a worldview. Atheism, it's a worldview. Hinduism, it's a worldview. Witchcraft, it's a worldview. It's not a religion. It made it a religion. And somebody help me out here a second. What's the religion in the public schools? Don't say there's no religion. What's the religion? I'm listening.
Secular humanism.
That's the religion of the public schools. Secular humanism. Is humanism a religion? The one thing that interests me is, why do you want it to be a religion? Why can't humanity exist as a standard feature of mankind? Why is it so difficult for people to imagine life without bowing down to someone greater than themselves? So, see, folks, humanism is a religion that glorifies the desires of man. Humanism. Man is his own God. Now, in America's public schools, what are they teaching as the religion? See, they want us to believe there's no religion, but there is a religion. Humanism. Click it down there. It says, what is religion? What is humanism? I'm sorry. What is religion? What is humanism? Can you do that, Spence? Click on the blue one. What is humanism? Humanism is a progressive philosophy. See, they don't call it a religion. They don't call it a religion, do they? A progressive philosophy of life without supernaturalism. In other words, no God, you're your own God. And it affirms our ability and responsibility to lead ethical life. Time out a minute. What's ethical? Who determines what's ethical? Oh, I get it. Having butt sex with another man, that would be ethical. Because there's no value system, right? Ethical lives of personal fulfillment that aspire to the greater good of humanity. How can you have a greater good of humanity without standards? The life stance of humanity, guided by reason, inspired by compassion, and informed by experience, encourages us to live life well and full. And it evolves through the ages and continues to develop through the efforts of thoughtful people who recognize that values and ideals, however carefully wrought, are subject to change as our knowledge and understanding changes. Wow. Humans are an integral part of nature. See, we're just an animal. The result of unguided evolutionary change. Humanists recognize nature as self-existing. We accept our life as all and enough, distinguishing things as they are from things which might wish or imagine them to be. We welcome the challenges of the future and are drawn to and undaunted by yet to be known. Ethical values are derived from human need and interested as tested. See, humanism teaches that the advancement of humans and humanism is the ultimate goal. Not about serving God, not about any of that. That's why we have what they call multiculturalism. All values are the same. By the way, again, I'm kind of floundering, being taught in your public school. Your public school, the religion of your public school is humanism. It's human. Folks, it's not that there's no religion. Are you picking this up yet? You are sending your child. I'm sending my grandchildren. No, I'm not. Praise the Lord. My neighbors are sending their grandchildren into a church of humanism every day where the values of humanism are taught. And we wonder why we're in the mess we're in. RJ, come on in. Hang on. So let me put an addendum here. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Should that be one of our focuses? Should we demand the placing of the Ten Commandments back in there? Should we demand? Come on, man. We got to get aggressive. Go ahead, RJ.
Now, here's the question that really, if you ask people to break this down, the word human means color of man. It is a fallen creature. So we are talking about a religion that worships a fallen creature that follows the dictates of the flesh, of a fallen nature, humanism. And it's a self-destructionism, if you really want to look at it. That's how I'd see it. That's how I'd say it and ask challenge people, what does that really mean?
And so, RJ, let me ask you this. Do you think humanism has crept into the church? Isn't many of our sermons about Christian humanism? Making my life better, making me more prosperous, getting advanced in my job, being healthy, wealthy. That's a form of humanism, isn't it? Didn't Jesus Christ call us to die to ourselves, to advance a kingdom? And is that what is that the message being taught in Christian America today? And I would say no. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Come to Jesus and you're gonna have a better life. You can have your best life now, in fact, if you come to Jesus. Even though Jesus said, lay down your life. Even though Jesus died to yourself. All of modern Christianity is about life enhancement. Because why? Because the guys standing in the pulpit have had 30 years of humanistic indoctrination in their education as well. So there's a separation between the church and state. We're not allowed to get involved in politics. And we're just going to preach the gospel. Well, they don't even do that. They don't even do that. Go ahead, RJ. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're it's a business model. If you think about what they're trying to do is attract and build a system that will, you know, continue to perpetuate bringing people in, make them feel good, happy, you know, the once a week deal, you know.
No standards, RJ. No standards. You do whatever you want to. Whatever's best for you, you go ahead and do. I love you. Jesus loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. Go ahead and do whatever you want to do. That's what Christianity's become.
Yeah. So what was Charlie saying there, what you said in the beginning, was you're challenging people to live with a real purpose, which is to know Christ and become who he called you to be. And how to discover that is you got to have a church where the Holy Spirit is alive and is really the leader, not the pastor.
Folks, it's like, I'm sorry, this is important, RJ. If you're pastoring a church and there are no plays being run outside of the building, can you imagine that working in football? That you run all the plays in the locker room, and then when it's time to go, no plays run. No, don't run any plays. No, because the game's about over. Don't run any plays. Just come in here and we'll make you feel good and tell you about having your best life now. And then out there where the wicked are roaming, no, we're not going out there. Mm-mm. Be ye separate. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. We're not going to touch that. We're not going to get involved with politics. So, yeah, but if you don't get involved with politics, they're going to teach transgenderism to your neighbor's kid.
What can I do? So what if the play being taught was, you know, how do you change your class? How do you bring people to understand they're not out here to follow their flesh? They've got to be introduced to Christ, and they've got to have a plan to do that. It's going to be different for each person. It's not always going to be the same thing, but there's got to be a witness to begin with.
Charlie on my brain. RJ, if every pastor in my surrounding area here, where I live, if they got together, got all their people together, and demanded Bible classes back in the school, they'd have them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they'd get sued. There'd be a lawsuit that would come. But Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. We would win the battle, folks. We would win the battle. But, Pastor Tom, come on in.
Good morning.
Morning.
I had put something in the chat there a little bit about they knew God, they knew of God, and they knew not God. I think you really struck something hard, and that's really what I think Charlie Kirk was about, but that's really what he was actually just fulfilling the message. You see, there's no separation between, and this is what I want to share with the government and things. See, America is what? The United States of America. Jesus said, if the house is divided, it will what?
Fall.
There is no separation. Now listen to me, folks. There is no separation between the spiritual and the physical. That separation began in the garden when Adam chose to disobey God and was cut off from intimate fellowship with him. Now he was led by his soul and his flesh, humanity's end, then is what? It's destruction, hell. It was apart from God because the spirit was now disconnected. The harvest of sin is death. But Jesus, fully God, fully man, came to reunite us to the Father through his life, death, resurrection. Now, this is what we're to share. He offers rebirth by the Spirit so that the spirit, soul, and body may be made whole again, that with purpose, restored to live with purpose greater than ourselves, and that is the will of God and the walk in the will of God.
Sermon Tom, done. The average child going into the Millersport High School or Lakewood High School has no idea. Body, soul, spirit have no understanding.
No, that's not they've been taught. And most people I know in church don't know that.
Everybody living is going to die. Everybody alive is going to die.
Exactly, because of sin that came in. And this is the thing, I've done many funerals. Every funeral is different because everybody handles death differently because we were not created to experience it.
Amen. That's a good point. That's a good point. Amen. Amen. JR, come on in. JR Harrison can't even get churches to stand up for natural family. No, I'm not mad. It just seems like it. They won't even stand up for that. Too controversial. A man and a woman married for life with children. No. Hi, JR.
Amen. Amen. You're asking for suggestions for public schools, Coach. A couple things. Number one, what about getting a Turning Point Club in your local school? Secondly, and I tried this with the Westville City Schools, and they're still thinking about it. October is supposedly LGBTQ History Month in the schools. I've asked them to make November or December a Natural Family Month in schools.
That'd be pretty easy, wouldn't it?
You'd think that, yes. So anyway, it's those are two positives that I'm recommending, and getting the Turning Point Club is getting Christ back into the schools, because that's what they're based. They're Christian based.
100 million people, JR. 100 million people watch that funeral. What's that tell you about America? Where we are?
Yeah.
See, you know what we are, JR? We're good. We're a really good football team waiting for a coach. That's what we are. They're ready. They're ready to run, or a general, whatever. They're waiting for somebody to lead them into the battle.
Well, if you don't have leadership in the family, it's going to happen. It's going to be tough to get it into society.
Yeah, got to have it in general. That's right. That's right. Randy,
Coach, I see the connection you're trying to make here with humanism. How it's become the god of everyone, and until that's removed, they're not going to see. They can't see, Coach. So. You're right on, I tell you. But Coach, I see what's coming. I see what's coming. And Charlie was just he's just a picture of what's getting ready to happen. I mean, yeah. I see what JR's doing. I see what a lot of us are doing. We're laying foundations right now. Why? Because all these millennials and these Gen Z young people, they haven't been taught anything. Guess what, Coach? They don't have to be untaught a lot of fake ideologies and fake religion and bad doctrine, because they're coming into this thing in a way that they're going to get it quick and they're going to run. And Coach, I'm very encouraged. I am very encouraged. I don't want the pastors who don't know how to lead in the way. I want them out of my way anyway. They're just, you know, you heard this, you the lead follower, get out of the way. Well, look, they're in the way. And the system they promote is in the way. And Coach, I'm telling you, we have to see what's coming and just be ready for this great move, because it's right here on us. And yes. we are leaders. We're coaches, Coach. We're going to take these young people and coach them and show them how to be the church outside the building and outside the religion. And this is going to be, it's going to be the great, look, the politicians right now are so scared of what they're seeing. They are scared. They're shaking in their boots because they know if they can't grab that market of this, what's coming and get them in their politic pocket, they're out. They're gone. And this is what's coming, Coach. Charlie connected the politics back to the church in the right way. And Randy, he showed us how to do it. This is a great move coming, Coach.
There is, folks, think about the posting of the gay flag and in the rainbow flag in public schools. Ask yourself this question. How many people did it take to get the school to do that? Were there like a million homosexuals that showed up and men? Or here's a better question. Are there more homosexual activists or more Christian activists? And for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So, JR, if they say, no, we're not going to do that, we're not going to do natural family, they know you'll just go away and suck on your thumb and whatever. We don't demand our place at the table. And it's been a two-generation surrender. Rise up, O men of God, have done with the lesser things, and give heart and soul and mind and strength, serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God, the church for you doth wait. There's strength unequal to her task. Rise up and make her great. Where are the Christian men? They talk about it in your church? Christian manhood, boldness. The average Christian guy sitting in your church can't even pray publicly. Wouldn't even know how to do it. Let alone go confront the school board. Come on in, Jack.
Yeah, Coach, as you've taught often, we need to learn to use their rules against them.
Amen.
It's the ant and the grasshopper thing. If a student has rights, students all have rights. You can't discipline them. You can't tell them no. You can't tell them no if they want to start a Turning Point club in their school.
That's right.
Learn to use that. All it takes is a one or two to start the ball rolling.
So, Jack, think about LifeWise. And I'm not making fun of LifeWise. Thank God for all the people behind it and trying to thank God for them. They're trying to get the God. Thank God. But friends, they have to take them off campus. They can't even do Christianity in a private club during school hours.
As per
the hell.
Wow.
Yep. But don't, the other thing is, think about what you're calling it. Now, Brett, I love Brett. I know his heart is absolutely in the right place, but I don't want to call it a Bible study in the school. I want to call it Turning Point or Turn Point or Point of View or whatever. But if you start it, they can't stop it. If a student initiates it, they can't refuse it.
So, Jack, what if they had 25 minutes after every lunch an opportunity for kids to come to a teaching? They don't have to go. You don't have to go. But here's this opportunity to come. We don't even think that way. Well, can we put them on buses and drive them off campuses? Can we do that, please, with our own children, please? See, we don't crush the enemy. We give in to him. Craig.
Well, Coach, I'm sitting here in front of my computer, and I have a picture framed. It says, "Stand in the Gap, a Sacred Assembly of Men, October 4th, 1997.
That was about
a million men on the mall. Why? Because I can look at the Washington Monument and I see people all the way up to the Capitol. Well, I was there. I mean, I think that this picture is, you know, I don't know, 18 by 24, but whatever. I mean, I said, I got to get me one of them. Then I got another picture here. It says Washington, D.C., September 26, 2020. Well, that would be the return. That was on the mall. Okay. So what I'm saying is, Coach, all right, you're talking about a military campaign. Gee, look at your hat, really. I didn't even think about it. You got the camo hat on, right? What's one of the first things that you do when you take ground? You plant a
flag.
Yeah, and you were talking about a flag in a classroom, right? Yeah, they've been planting flags all along. And a military campaign, right, you want to win the war the next week. We all want to win the war next week. But that's not necessarily how a war works. A war works and a movement works when God wants it to work. The thing is about this, God wants it to work now. We can go back and we can wring our hands about the last, well, what's 1997 to now? I guess that's what, 28 years. But you know what? I'm not looking in the rearview mirror. I'm looking at a windshield of what's ahead, and I think we all are. I'm not saying we aren't. I'm just putting it in a perspective. And you know what? Thank God that he's given us this. And you know what? I could not have done God saving God's children, because I never would have done it unless the Sound of Freedom came out. And you know what? That has opened doors for me to go into churches where if I had done that before that movie, nobody would do it because they wouldn't want to talk about it. Sound of Freedom made that possible. Charlie Kirk's death has made this possible. The question is, what are we going to do with it?
Hey, Craig, what if I, well, I just had a great idea. What if I went to our local public school and said, listen, here's what I'm willing to do. 7 periods during the day, study halls in there, because kids only have 4 classes or 5 classes. How about if on every study hall, every period, I offer a lesson on morality and Christianity? And kids, rather than having to go to study hall, they can come in and get 30 minutes of Christian morality. Do you think they'd let me do it?
You won't know until they ask.
Don't know till you ask, right? Huh? That sounds like a big lawsuit to me. I'm going to ponder that one. Because you know what? They'd come, wouldn't they? Oh, yeah. They don't want to sit in the study hall. And I wouldn't put them on a red school bus, a red LifeWise bus, and cart them 5 miles off campus. I wouldn't do that to them. I'd say, we're going to do it right here. We're the salt of the earth. We're the salt of the school. We're going to do it right here. We're going to talk about Jesus Christ right here. An elective, by the way. It's an elective.
Well, you're planting a flag, right? You're planting a flag next to the LGBTQ flag. Amen.
Yeah. Maybe I'm going to do that. Jeff, come on in.
Coach, I'll share this real quick. 15 years ago, John Freshwater had the largest FCA in the state of Ohio. We had, oh gosh, a couple hundred kids, the senior of the high school at 7 a.m. in the morning in the theater. And then on the lunch groups, sixth, seventh, and eighth graders, they had about 200 kids in each class, them 3 classes. We would sit in the cafeteria, me and John, and they knew when they seen us on a Tuesday at lunch group, they knew what was coming down. So we'd chat with the kids, they'd eat their lunch, and then we'd meet down at the door of the music room. We'd stand in the hallway, and we high-five kids as they're coming by. They had a door right there for recess and a door for the music room. And we'd just high-five them like, FCA today? Some kids would turn left and go in the room. Some would say, next week, coach, because I was middle school coach. He was wrestling coach. They knew us. It was student-led, like Jack said. We have about 50 kids, each of the 3 lunch groups, go in there. The other ones go out. But then when John brought the Ohio State Buckeyes in after they won that championship, we had 5 of the Ohio State Buckeyes, and we set it up in the gymnasium. Not one kid went to recess. Not one. 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, about 200 kids each class, and them Buckeyes talked about the love they had for Jesus. Right after that, the school spent $1.3 million to ruin John, ruin the FCA, ran it out. Now they got LifeWise.
Well, that's what we know, right? And so I know this, Jeff. When I was coaching at London, where the lawsuit came down there, and we were taking kids on Sunday nights to church services, the other pastors got mad because it wasn't their church. Yep. And they helped lead the booting of me out of London. I'm telling you the truth.
We would have youth pastors. We'd have youth pastors and pastors no show. John, that's why I always showed up. John said, well, JC said, you're up. We got another no show today.
Folks, look, we have to be creative. These are the type of things that we have to do. Is there an LGBT club? Do they have to put the kids on a bus and drive them off campus to do it? Or are they doing it right there in the school? And if they're doing it right there in the school, how come we're not having the Christian club right there in the school? Why isn't that going on? These are the type of things that we have to elbow our way in. It's going to take some dedication. It's going to take some people who really care, really understand the battle. We are on the verge of a revival, sweep America, and we can't sit back and just continue to applaud Charlie Kirk.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
One other point. What we ought to do this time, we get this thing rolling again in the schools, ahead of time, before we start, we need some Tom Condon's to be ready. Because you know, yes. But we got to have it defense. We got to be ready to go.
Well, maybe we need a crew to get together and figure out how we're going to do this stuff and just go in and do it, even if it's one period a day. Jeff said the lunch period. What if you just, you guys know what it's like lunch. They eat their food. They could get their food. They could come down to the Bible study, 30 minutes, boom, they're out of there. You build a relationship with them, begin to reintroduce Christ back into the schools rather than sit around and believe we're not allowed to go in there. Take them, get them on the bus and take them off campus.
Hey, Coach.
Oh, how we put up with that? Let's take the homos off campus. Anybody vote for that? Let's take the trannies off campus.
Hey, Coach, what we did was that lunch group, they only had like 8 minutes. They go out recess after lunch. You got 8 minutes. But them kids would come in there real quick for 8 minutes to hear about Jesus real quick. You didn't have to get fancy with it. But they like that because they have a short attention span, too.
It's a good introduction. Real quick, Spencer, pull up. It's a clip I got from Randy. Pull that up if you can for me. It says, Randy, it says go to the 2 minute, 30 second mark. Ready to go here. This is Tucker. We got some national leaders. Go ahead.
Different. And Charlie was a political person who was deeply interested in coalition building and in getting the right people in office because he knew that vast improvements are possible politically. But he also knew that politics is not the final answer. It can't answer the deepest questions, actually. That the only real solution is Jesus. And the reason, it's really simple. Politics, at its core, is a process of critiquing other people and getting them to change. Christianity, the gospel message, the message of Jesus, begins with repentance. Christianity calls upon you to change. Our core prayer, given to us by Jesus, the Lord's Prayer, demands that we forgive other people, but preceding that is a request for our forgiveness. In other words, forgive us our sins, meditate on what we've done wrong, how we've fallen short, and then it becomes possible to forgive other people. That is a call to change our hearts from Jesus, and that is the only way forward in this country. That is the only solution to where we all know we're going. And Charlie knew where we were going without that. And that is not a call for being politically passive. Of course not. I stood on many stages with Charlie calling for various people to be elected, particularly Donald Trump. And I'm proud of that. It's only an acknowledgement that what Charlie was really saying is that change begins, the only change that matters, when we repent of our sins. We, me, a recognition that the real problem is me and how fallen I am. And that was the reason that Charlie was fearless at all times, truly fearless to his last moment. He was unafraid. He was not defensive, and there was no hate in his heart. I know that because I've got a little hate compartment in my heart, and I would often express that to Charlie about various people, and he would always say, that's a sad person, that's a broken person, that's a person who needs help, that's a person who needs Jesus. He said that in private, because he meant it. So I guess I would just say this gathering and God's presence, God's very obvious presence in this room, the presence of Jesus, is a reminder of what we've known for 2,000 years, which is any attempt to extinguish the light causes it to burn brighter every single time. So as we proceed into whatever comes next, and clearly something's coming next, remember this moment. Remember being in a room with the Holy Spirit humming like a tuning fork. This is the way, right here. This is the way. And that is what Charlie Kirk was saying underneath it all. Thank you, and God bless.
Wow, huh? Wow. That's it, isn't it? That is. See, we see all these kids floundering. We see a society, a culture floundering, trained in atheism, humanism, pornography, and we have the answer to the problem, and we will not go fight to have the problem exposed, and it's a spiritual problem. At the heart of it all, it's a spiritual problem, and we cannot expect non-Christian people to promote Christianity. It's our turn now. See you tomorrow.